You have to sit down and write a list for yourself of what you're supposed to be doing.
I actually really do have to do that to stay organized and just to stay on top of all this stuff that comes up.
Well, there's a lot for us to look forward to by the sound of it. This is a stupid question. Any idea of a release date for your record?
Well, no. I don't know, because it'll all have to do a little bit with the development of the play. It also has a little bit to do with the development, where the music business,
of course,
is it the direction of the music business in the next year or two, because it's a very strange time to put out a record. You don't know how to market it, what to do. Do you try the Radiohead approach? Do you try the Intersections approach, where you go out and make the record a part of the price of the ticket?
I was going to ask what your priority is now when you're writing music. I'm going to say it's not writing top 40 material. So,
well, it hasn't been that way for a long time. But it's the same as it's always been. I'm just trying to write good songs. I'm trying to write songs that interest me, and so consequently, the subject matter, you know, through the years, it gets a little more out of the mainstream.
So it's really to play what you enjoy, and then hope others come along for the ride, if you like, or maybe to find something completely new and surprise people with.
Well, I'm trying to surprise people, certainly on a lyrical level. Like I mentioned, the song "The Black Rats of London," it's about the unsung heroes of American history, the rodents and the bacterial strains that they brought over on the ships.
I don't know why I'm laughing. That's a horrible thing to write about. But
it's but at the end, I bring it all back around when I say, it also infected. Well, for instance, I have here's the second verse. It starts out with the great Floyd June Hill screaming, "Yorktown!" And then I say, "Parasites decimated the Red Army of Cornwallis and his flock, standing weakly on Yorktown battlefield with measles and smallpox. Horses, hogs, chickens, and dogs, and John Rolfe's prized worms, divine intervention in bacterial strains from imported English dirt. Hoorah, hooray, the black rats of London. They crossed the sea for you and me. Let's raise a glass so thankfully. Hail, hail, hooray, the black rats of London. Made the long, treacherous passage to spread their natural juices, a gift to you."
I can safely say I've not heard that subject matter in any song.
No, I don't think so.
That's going to surprise people.
No, it's just comedic, but it's got a point, but
sure.
It's just a different take on American history. I actually got the idea from a National Geographic article about Jamestown, which talked about this, and I said, "Oh, this just sounds like a song to me."
Right.
So anyway, from the Holy Trinity of home delivery to the Black Rats of London, you know, we're just moving onward and outward.
I guess. Well, when you write the music, do you write with a live scenario in mind? I remember, say, hearing Rest in Place on the record, or Place Under the Sun, and thinking that's an extended intro if I ever heard one, you know, like 20-minute songs they become. So,
if you heard this song, for instance, Black Rats, I mean, right away, it's so live. It's just,
right.
That's going to be a big live song for us. It starts out with Sonny Emery just banging on the tom-toms.
Really?
Huey Lewis heard it. It sounds like an old British pub drinking song.
Oh, that's going to go down a storm then.
And when Huey Lewis came to the studio when we were working in L.A., I'm working with the producer, Tony Berg, okay? He's most well-known for producing Michael Penn, produced Edie Brickell.
Okay.
He's done a lot of great records. Oh, Lord, I wish I had his discography, because he's really done a lot of good things. Not so much on a hit level. He's just done a lot of great... He's worked with Peter Gabriel a bunch. Anyway, we were out of his house, and he was bass player John Pierce, who played on Spirit Trail. He's an old friend of both Tony's and mine. And so he and Huey came over. When Huey heard the Black Rats, he said it sounds like an old Thin Lizzy tune.
Okay.
So British pub drinking song / Thin Lizzy, It's definitely, as you can imagine, it's definitely with Sonny Emery bashing on the tom-toms.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
It's definitely a live cut, for sure. This record that we're making really captures the sound of our band more than ever. It is us just playing in a room. Not all the songs, but a whole lot of them are.
That's exciting to hear.
It is exciting. I think the people who really like our band will really hear that. Oh wow, this just sounds like us hearing them when they're playing a gig, and that's hard to capture live. But I think on at least a good half of these songs where we have played in this way, with it's just all of us just in there wanging away, I think it really has that sound.
Good. So are you and the band talking about when you're playing live?
I think we'll play several of these songs in our shows in August.
Oh, I'm trying to come over.
Yeah.
You might have sold it to me.
Okay, I think we'll be trying to do at least three or four or five.
That's great.
Certainly that one, and actually several more, I think.
So are you guys at a point now where you are that comfortable with each other that you can go out and totally wing it on stage, or do you give them even the loosest of ideas? Do you have any idea what you're going to do when you go out there?
on stage?
Yeah, I don't think you do.
Not generally. They often ask, it's a standard line, I think you've probably heard JV talk about it. They always ask me, well, what's the first song, boss? And sometimes I'll say it, but other times I'll say, well, I don't know, but I won't hurt your feelings.
Right.
You've probably heard
that. Right.
It's a standard line.
But you don't sort of tip them up beforehand. Now, by the way, fellas, we're going to play a song that I haven't played for 15 years or something like that.
Well, that'll happen now. But that usually happens in the middle of the song if I get an idea.
Right.
Like that's how, you know, every now and then we play the old Wilson Pickett tune, I'm in Love, for instance.
Right.
You know that one?
Right.
You heard us do that one.
I don't think I know the song you mean. I don't know that I've heard you do it.
Well, yeah. So we did. That's just, you know, let's talk about an obscure tune. It wasn't even really one of his big hits at all.
Sure.
And I've always loved. I just went into it one night, and then it just became something we did now and then, just adding to the list. You know, we just did the last time we played was about 3 weeks ago. The Noisemakers, we played at University of Miami.
Okay.
You know, you're familiar with this. The new here's yet another thing that's going on now. You may or may not have heard about this new music program that I'm starting at Miami, at University of Miami. Did you know about that?
No, I didn't know about that.
Okay, it's called the Creative American Music Program. I've always thought there was something missing in the curriculum of the college music programs, and so now you can go to Miami and study. Well, whenever Bob Dylan was asked, "How do you become a great songwriter?" He would always say, he has always said, you go back to the basics of American roots music, traditional music, from everything from Stephen Foster to shape note singing and Sacred Harp music and the Negro spirituals, as they're called, and blues, and, you know, Robert Johnson, Sonny Boy Williamson, and Muddy Waters, and Mahalia Jackson, and Doc Watson, and Bill Monroe, and on and on and on. It's such a deep well of knowledge, and it's being lost. You know, kids don't know that. I mean, there was a big movement. Bob Dylan came out of this folk movement in the late 50s, early 60s.
Right.
And so now at Miami, there's this program where you not only study this music and are turned on to it and hopefully inspired by it, you're also required to write songs in that style.
Okay.
And perform and sing them. So it's a total writing and performing scenario, and I'm not sure if it's being done quite this way anywhere else. Anyway, whether it doesn't matter. That's what we're doing at Miami. So that's really exciting for me. And we had sort of a kickoff 2 days down at the school. I guess it was the March 31st and April 1st, and the band came down. Sonny and JV did a bass and drums clinic. I did a whole bunch of master classes. They did a master class with together. Hardly anybody came. That was a drag. I was bummed at that. I don't think it was very well publicized, their thing. But I did a bunch of master classes on piano and lyric writing, melody writing, and just the whole idea of this program. And then we played a concert at the end, and it really was, I hope it was recorded, because it really was, you know, we hadn't played for a little while, well, just about a month and a half.
Right.
But we just had a ball playing. So much fun. There's nothing quite like playing with that group for me. I love playing with the Skaggs, Kentucky Thunder situation. That's fantastic. But there's nothing like our band. You know, for me. I'm just talking for me. So anyway, that's yet another thing I forgot to mention, but that's... That program starts in the fall. It's been in the works for about a year and a half, and now it's in the catalog. The course, the first course is African American Traditions, which will be offered in September, for the fall semester, and then Anglo American Traditions for the spring, and then the next year, a bunch of new courses. We'll start in sort of the R&B, soul, funk, hip hop, rap history, and
I hope they publicize this.
Oh, well, they're publicizing it. Yeah, I mean, actually, I think it was on the Fortune magazine website. You know,
okay,
among other things. So yeah, it's being publicized enough. I mean, they're having enough. It hasn't been publicized too much yet. But they're having the word's gotten around. I think they can only have 15 students in the actual program.
Right.
They're offering the courses as just a music appreciation course for the wider university, the whole university. But
right.
The actual program is only offered by audition only to people like Rachel Griffin, who really have a clue, for instance,
you know,
or Katie Holkamp. You know, this is just to broaden people's horizons and turn them on to, you know, the origins, the roots, the fathers who really put all this music down that we've been drawing from. I say we and everyone who is in the rock music world, in the singer-songwriting world. For the last 50 years.
It was a great way to give back as well, though.
Yeah, that's right. It just, I've wanted to do something for the school for years, but I just, in the standard way to, you know, give back, quote unquote, at your old university is to endow a scholarship. Mm. But I didn't want to endow a scholarship just so somebody could learn how to play, you know, like Charlie Parker and John Coltrane again. I mean, they do that very well, and at Miami and at lots of music schools where jazz is one of the majors, one of the programs that's offered. But for me, I just never could get excited about that because it seemed like an area, well, where...
It's been done.
It's been done, one. And two, it's not, that music is not too prized these days, you know. It's not
right.
Something that's really knocking the walls down as far as, you know, opportunities for musicians.
Right.
It's dwindling and, dwindling yearly.
Yeah.
And so... I really got the idea from, I guess, kind of like Willie Nelson got the idea for Farm Aid by some offhanded Bob Dylan quote. This is the same for me. I was reading a Dylan interview, and he was talking about this, and I said, well, this is exactly it. This is what needs to be done here in the halls of academia.
I've run out of questions, I think.
I just bored the dog shit out of you with all this, you know, highfalutin academic talk.
Not at all. You saying I'm not highfalutin and academic? Of course I am. I just don't sound it.
Well, okay, if that's all you need. I mean, that's a lot. I know I've given you a lot of stuff, but that's all the stuff that's going on from the halls of academia to Spike Lee.
I guess so.
To the hills of Appalachia.
From
the halls of academia to the hills of Appalachia. There you go.
There's another song in there, I bet, too.
That's at least a good headline.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. Okay, man. Great talking to you, Si.
You too. Thanks for your time, Bruce.
Okay, man. Thanks.
Bye-bye.